great. Thank you all. Well, good morning again. Get the papers right side up. Earlier this summer, I was having some plumbing problems at my house, and it all came together one morning while I was showering. I couldn't get the water to move beyond lukewarm. So you probably know what I did. That's right. With all my plumbing know-how, I fiddled with the knobs, turning them this way and that way. Nothing changed. Still lukewarm. So I fiddled harder. Still nothing. So I gritted my teeth, washed my hair, and got out of the shower feeling like I hadn't really showered. A very unsatisfying experience, to say the least. God's experience with the church in Laodicea is also very unsatisfying. Through this summer, we have been looking at God's letters to the seven churches in Revelation. Laodicea is the seventh, and unlike the messages to the other six churches, God does not couple his words of criticism with words of praise. Hear now God's word from Revelation 3, beginning with verse 14. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes, so that you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. May God add a blessing to our hearing as we seek now to apply his words to our lives. Amen. Now, God doesn't lose any time getting the Laodiceans' attention. His complaint and warning to them starts with that strong image of spitting them out of his mouth. The things you do are neither hot nor cold. I wish they were one or the other, God said. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now that's an image that the Laodiceans could really relate to. Because like me, they literally also had a plumbing problem. You laugh, this is true. According to history, their water supply came from hot springs several miles away, which when delivered was tepid and barely drinkable. What an awful thought that our condition as a church would be so disgusting to God that he would want to spit us out of his mouth like undrinkable water. But it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Who wants lukewarm water when you want a glass of cold water? Who wants lukewarm water when you want soothing water, hot water, when you're taking a shower? And God doesn't want lukewarm water, neither does he want lukewarm people. And that's his central complaint to the church in Laodicea. They are lukewarm. They have chosen to sit on the fence, choosing to be neither hot nor cold. I have a friend who has a considerable amount of experience counseling married couples. And he tells me that a couple who are fiercely fighting, or a couple who are actively not engaged with each other, are easier to work with than a couple who are merely pleasant to each other. They don't necessarily fight, but they don't really feel connected either. They're just lukewarm, indifferent towards each other. Sometimes people think that there is safety in remaining neutral, not choosing one side or the other. Other times people want to make a choice, but they are so afraid of making the wrong choice that they never choose. You remember, some of you I know from maybe high school or college or whenever, Dante writing in his classic, The Inferno, when talking about the people in limbo who were like this, he writes, "Those who choose not to choose have chosen, and what they have chosen is nothing." I wonder what would have happened if, when Jesus called Matthew to follow him, he had been lukewarm. If he'd said, "Hey, I've got a good life, I'm comfortable, I have a certain amount of power, prestige, and control. Day to day, I pretty much know what's happening next. No surprises. Why would I want to complicate my life by following Jesus?" As we continue reading God's letter to the church in Laodicea, we learn that being lukewarm wasn't necessarily at the core of their problem. Did you catch what was at the core of their problem? At first sight, Laodicea looked like it had it all together. It was a large, wealthy city in a prime location. It was at the center of many important enterprises, and it had many accomplishments to its credit. And when the city was hit by a devastating earthquake, they rebuilt the entire city using all their own financial resources and rejected the financial aid that was offered to them by Rome. That's how put together, self-assured, and self-sufficient Laodicea was. And the condition of the city was rubbing off on the church. Many in the church thought they had it all together and didn't have a need. In the world, they didn't need anything else. Why would they need a holy, loving, giving and forgiving God? The Laodiceans don't see their real condition, but God does, and he tells them so in these words. You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. You don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Tough stuff. The church in Laodicea went from believing that they were in great shape to being told that they are poor, wretched, and naked. In essence, God told them that they were totally blind to their true condition. Tough stuff, but not nearly as tough as the self-deception of operating in the dark. Jesus even alludes to this self-assured condition in his call to Matthew. Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." And God assured the Laodiceans that he's telling them what he's telling them because he loves them. He advised the Laodiceans about what to do, specifically, three things specifically to do to improve their declining condition. God, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, takes us, if we so choose, out of the dark and into the light. And so we come to the crux of the letter. In a single verse, God lights up all of us, I believe, with these encouraging words. So I advise you to buy from me gold that has been purified, then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so that you will be able to see. Notice that God doesn't demand or command. He advises. Some translations say counsels. God makes his suggestions to the church, but it is up to us to choose. To choose hot or cold or, I guess, lukewarm. First to be purchased from God is this gold. Gold that has been purified by fire. What could that mean? Could it be faith? Our faith that get tested in so many difficult and different ways. Genuine faith, faith that has been tested, that is found and founded on the unshakable rock of Christ and not on the shifting sands of Wall Street. Next, God advises us to buy from him white garments so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, he says. What might these white garments, the God brand of clothing, represent? I believe they point to God's love and forgiveness, which covers the bare nakedness of our sin. Nothing else sets us free from guilt and fear like God's almighty love and forgiveness. Clearly, the Laodiceans had many fine clothes. We have lots of clothes in our closets, but they are garments that come and go with the fashion, with the times, with the trends, and all too easily wear out. But God stands ready to clothe us, cover us in love and forgiveness that lasts forever. And finally, God urges us to obtain from him salve for our eyes so we will be able to see, to truly see, able to see beyond our limited vision and understanding, able to begin to see as God sees. Tough stuff to be told that you're not getting it when you think you're totally with it. Tough stuff to think you're paying attention than be told you're blind? What is this eye salve of God? Might it be God's word and prayer? I think so. The curious truth about the three things that God wants us to buy from him is that they cannot really be bought. They are in large measure gifts from God. We buy only in the sense that we spend and give of ourselves, opening ourselves to get up and follow Jesus, as Matthew did. Today, after this service, we will be launching the all-church program called 24 to Double. It's how we are beginning to understand God's call to follow Jesus in this time and place. It's how we are understanding God's warning to not be lukewarm. When Matthew got up and followed Jesus, he didn't know the whole journey he was about to take. He only and simply knew the next step. As the church in Littleton, hearing God's call, we are taking the next step. The first step into 24 to Double. Is there a guarantee about the outcome of this journey? Certainly not. But take heart. Open your eyes and see, because there is a guarantee today that we're going to get up from this place and go to Ficklin Hall and get moving. For we will not be lukewarm. We are not staying put and being satisfied with where we are or what we have done. We are moving forward together, just as Matthew immediately got up and followed Jesus. I invite you now to stand as we prepare to sing one of my new favorite hymns. It's on page 452, Open the Eyes of My Heart. And because it's so short and sweet, I don't want anyone to miss anything. So Susan's going to give us a few tips. Thank you, Susan.
You bet. Just so we're all on the same road map, when you get to the beginning of the third line down, you don't have anything there, but I do on my part. But that's ending one, so you have to go back to the beginning, do those first two lines again, and the second time, take ending two. Beware, at the end of the third line, you have a whole measure where you don't do anything but listen to me for four beats. That will catch you off guard, I promise. So what we're going to do, I will play the whole thing for you once, and then we will sing it twice.
There will be a test later.
Yes.
Thank you.
be seated. At least except for two of you. We are today going to take a little bit of time to, much to their chagrin, celebrate Janice Franklin and, Janice Fagan and Maria Franklin. So Maria, I think, is back there. Can you come on up? And Janice, can you come up too? Come on up over here. So let me tell you why we are celebrating them. So these are our Christian education elders. And about a year ago, we decided to redefine the children's ministry position, and that meant we were going to be a little bit of time without a children's director. And I asked them if they could kind of keep things rolling for like 3 or 4 months while we looked for a new children's person. So that was 12 months ago, I believe, roughly. And the children's ministry has been in really good hands with them. They've you know, automated a few things, improved a few things along the way. And so really, we wanted to acknowledge how they have carried the children's ministry essentially on their own with with all of the teachers, and they've been leading all of the teachers and the shepherds. And I know that they've had a really good experience talking with those who've been involved. And it's, you know, I'm not all that good at saying thank you and pausing and remembering that, so we wanted to make sure we did that today. These flowers are actually, there's one for each of you. One of them is slightly better than the other, so whichever of you thinks they're better, but I won't tell you which one it is. So y'all can take them now or you can take them after the service, but that's one way we wanted to say thank you, and I promised I wouldn't embarrass them too much up here, so I